He said, ye shall love the Lord thy God with all of your heart, all of your soul, all of your strength, and your mind, and so forth. Second is just like it. He said, ye shall love your neighbor as yourself. Upon these two, loving God, loving your neighbor, upon these two hang all of the prophets and all of the law.
Why do you run from me?
Are you running from the love of God? God's love never fails. Welcome to Love Never Fails, the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel, Fort Worth, with Pastor Bill Quinn. Happy Monday, and once again, we welcome you. On today's program, Pastor Bill concludes the message, The Debt We Owe, as a study from the Epistle of Romans continues. Here's Pastor Bill.
Well, I used to go to church. I said, you live with your mother. You're driving your mother crazy. I said, do you know the Lord? I said, he loves you. He would never, ever do what you're doing. I said, you've got to change. You've got to let Jesus be the Lord of your life. He looked at me and said, get the off my property. I said, okay. 1 week later, I saw him dressed in a suit. I mean, I'd never seen this guy in anything but Speedos, man. His hair was combed. He was shaven. I mean, and I said, where are you going? He says, I'm going to church with my mother. He went to church, got his life right with God, went to church the next week, and came and told me, I had communion. I said, okay, good. The next week, it was his birthday. He told his mother, he said, Mom, he's an older fellow. He's about 55, 60 years old. He said, Mom, it's my birthday. I'm going to go out and I'm going to have the big steak. He said, I even showered twice. I want to smell so good. True word. Gets in the car, goes to the restaurant to eat, and he never gets out of the car. He falls over dead right there. Neighbors sometimes are not nice, but you know what? It is the love of God that rests upon and in our heart. We reach out to those that are unlovely. Do you understand? Why would we have the love of God in our heart if we can't reach out and do what God wants us to do? He came to Christ because of it. Amen. Saved him from hell because of it. See, that love, listen, that's what it's all about. You remember the story of the lawyer came to Jesus and he said, Jesus, tell me. He said, what's the most important or the greatest commandment in all the Bible? Jesus looked at him in Matthew chapter 22. You know the story. Jesus said, ye shall love the Lord thy God with all of your heart, all of your soul, all of your strength, and your mind, and so forth. Second is just like it. He said, ye shall love your neighbor as yourself. Upon these two, loving God, loving your neighbor, upon these two hang all of the prophets and all of the law. The word hang means a peg. It means that supports everything in God's word. It means it supports all the law of Moses. Are you listening to me? It means it supports everything that the prophet said. Love is always the answer. And that's what Jesus said. He goes on to say in Mark's gospel about this, he said, and there is no commandment greater, Jesus said, than these. Now listen carefully. The 21st century American church, I believe, is in trouble. I say this not as a judgment. I love people. I definitely love the church. But you know what, loved one? Listen, a church that doesn't obey the great commandment, at least wants to obey the great commandment. That means to me, to God, they're nothing more than a lukewarm, complacent church resting upon the grace of God. And not only that, they're completely and totally out of the will of God. No, love is the earmark of every believer. When people are falling apart, what do we do? Just blame them? Oh, look at that. You know, no, we help them. We love them. Love bears one another's burdens. We reach out to those that are hurting. May God reopen our hearts to the great commandment in this church, since it's one of our vision statements. Amen? It's so vital. Everything depends upon the great commandment for us to love each other, love God, and then love our neighbor as ourselves. Now, turn with me quickly, and we'll go through this quickly. Luke chapter 10, you know the story by heart as well as I do. It's probably one of the most popular parables of Jesus, the Good Samaritan. That and the prodigal son are known everyone knows those parables, but let's just look at it quickly. It says in Luke 10, 25, it says, behold, a certain lawyer, Luke chapter 10, verse 25, a certain lawyer, that a lawyer is an expert in the law of Moses. He stood up and he tested Jesus, saying, teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? Well, we know that you can't do anything to inherit eternal life except believe, amen? Now, it's a great question. So this expert in the law is talking to the number one expert in the universe, amen? And he says to him, Jesus said, well, what's written in the law? How do you read it? Tell me about it. And so he answered and said, well, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your strength, all your mind, and your what? Neighbor as yourself, just like it was you. That's the great commandment, loved one. And he said to him, well, boy, you've answered rightly. Jesus said, do this and live. He said, but he wanting to justify himself said to Jesus, well, who is my neighbor? And does he put leaves on your front porch, in other words? What is he saying here? Listen, did the expert in the law of Moses, did he need any more knowledge? No. Did he need any more insight? No. Did he need a fresh word of prophecy? No, he had everything that he needed right here and there. What he really wanted to know is, how far do I really take this command about loving my neighbor as myself, especially if they're wearing Speedos across the street? Do you understand? No, I'm serious. No. Look at verse 30. Jesus answered and said, well, a certain man went down to Jerusalem from Jericho, fell among thieves, who stripped him of his clothing, wounded him, departed, leaving him half dead. And now by chance, a certain priest, it said, came down the road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the what? The other side. Likewise, a Levite, those are the ones who assisted the priest. It says, and when he arrived at the place, he came and he looked at this man who was all beaten and bloody and stripped and all that. He just looked and he passed by on the other side. Boy, that's so sad today, isn't it? Think about it. I mean, you got two people that represent God, knowing God, been up at the temple, and here they are. They're going through all the motions of serving the sacrifices and all the things that they do. And, you know, they quote, remember the Shema? They quote the Shema at least twice a day, Deuteronomy chapter 4, I believe it is. You know, hear, O Israel, the Lord God is one God, and you shall love the Lord with all of your heart, mind, soul, you know, the whole bit, the great commandment. And here they are, they know God's word. They're coming down from Jerusalem down to the Jericho area. And what do? They're working for God, and yet they pass this guy by. He's right there, a neighbor, right in front of them. Two people who knew to do something, that God required them to do something and empowered them to do something, and yet they did nothing. Why? The absence of love. You see, the safe side is always the other side, away from the problem. Amen? And that's what loveless people do. You know, loveless people, they look at the problem, but they say, I can't do anything about it. Loveless people, they love to talk about it, but they don't really have the walk. Loveless people are always occupied with self, not with others. Loveless people say, that person is an inconvenience to me. So to the thieves, he was a victim. To the priest and the Levite, he was an inconvenience. But to the good Samaritan that's on the way, he's going to be someone as a neighbor. Now look at verse 33 quickly. But a Samaritan, as he journeyed, he came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion upon him. You remember the Samaritans, they were outcast according to the Jew. They were half Jew and half Gentile. They were never accepted as proselytes. They even considered a Samaritan to be equal with the devil or a demon. Now look at verse 34. So he went to him, and look what he did. He bandaged his wounds. In other words, he became the man's doctor. Pouring in the oil, the wine, he set him on his own animal. In other words, provided an ambulance, if you will. Brought him to an inn, took care of him, became a protector. And then on the next day, he departed, took out 2 denarii, that's about enough to pay for 24 days at the hotel or the inn, and gave them to the innkeeper and said, you take care of him. Whatever more you spend when I come back, I'll repay you. So he became a provider. Listen to me. The love that has been shed abroad in our hearts, not only do we owe it to everyone, our neighbor, and to one another, but here, this love, remember, is not, we can't treat it as a noun. We have to treat it as a verb. See, it does something. It doesn't just say something, it demonstrates something. Romans 5:8, for God proved or demonstrated his own love, remember, by sending Jesus to die on the cross for our sins. John 3:16, again, God's love. So for God so loved the world, it did something. What did it do? It gave his only begotten son. Love always does something. And here this good Samaritan, he treated that person that was wounded as himself. He crawled into his skin and he says, if that was me, I'd want somebody to come and help me. Amen? Oh, how important that is. Somebody just to reach out and help them. And so which of these three, Jesus says, do you think was neighbor to him who fell among thieves? And he said, he who showed mercy upon him. And Jesus said to him and to us, go and do likewise. We live in a city. Here we are. We for some reason, we have become more inward focused the last several years than outward focused like we used to be, which is getting ready to change. Listen, we're to go and we're to love people. And you know, would you say that a lot of the neighborhoods and our neighbors, have they been taken advantage of by the thief? Yes, the thief comes to steal and to kill and destroy. Listen, the parable of the Good Samaritan is very important for us today. It will do this church, nor any church, any good to say, oh, I know the Great Commandment. I can even say the Great Commandment. That will help no one. You must do that. Amen? And so must I. That's the vision statement for this church. You know, the Great Commandment, the Great Commission, and the New Commandment that Jesus gave unto us. Jesus said in his word, those who do those things, they're not far from the kingdom of God. But let me say something to you. The church that neglects these things in God's word, they have a name that they're alive, but loved one, they're not. They're actually dead and they've left their first love. Matter of fact, they're asleep. More than that. They don't know the hour. They don't know how critical it is. And more than that, as we're going to learn next Sunday, they have not put on Christ. Now, with all of that being said, now, I want you to listen to me just for a moment and bear with me. I have time. I'm even ahead of time, ahead of schedule. So you don't have anything to worry about. You know, I didn't know I love people. I love people. Love never fails. That lives in my heart. It really and truly does. I want everyone to make it. I want those that are in bondage to get out of bondage. Amen? I want every marriage, every person who's down, and I want them to make it. And that's what God wants. Is that correct? Yes. You know, when I was young in my first pastorate, I had an encounter that revolutionized my life and changed me forever. And I've never forgotten it. It was the most powerful thing that I've ever witnessed, actually, about the love of God and what the love of God can do when it's demonstrated to those that are unlovable, maybe, or rather unlovely in life. You know what I'm saying? And I met a man one time back in the early 80s. He was a gigantic man. I mean, he was 6 feet 7 inches tall, huge fellow, and he was about 65, 66, maybe 67 years of age. His hair was as snow white as snow is from a fresh snow, believe me, and it stood straight up like 5 inches, just like this. His face was the most narrow face of any man I'd ever met in my life, just like this, had a long, long face, and he had a beard that, you know, it's like instead of trimming, it looked like he trimmed it here and here and here, but it was all uneven and so forth. He was the strangest individual I'd ever seen, and his attire was unbelievable. The first time I met him and saw him, rather, you know, he was attired, you know, has cowboy boots on. Nothing wrong with cowboy boots, except each one was different. It wasn't the same kind of, if you know what I'm saying. And he had on these pants, and they were huge, and he would stick his boots, and he would put the pant leg into his boots, but they were so big and so baggy, and he would pull them up like to his middle stomach, and he had a rope, and he would tie them like that, and that's what supported them so it wouldn't fall down. And he had on the ugliest plaid jacket that I have ever seen in my life, and it was so small, and he was a huge, huge man. And instead of the sleeves coming down to cover, you know, down by the hand, they came up to here. And that was his dress, his mode of dress. And he had on a bright tie wider than the state of Texas. It was right there. And then on the lapel of the sport coat that he was wearing, he had a huge, you know, like you say, vote for me. He had a huge thing that clipped up on it, and it said, on it, it said, weather prophet. Say that with me, weather prophet. Now, would you say that was a little bit strange? Well, it gets a little bit more strange, okay? Not only that, let me tell you about the car he drove. He drove an ancient Cadillac, one of those big, long, you know, the old ones. I mean, they were long as a street block, remember? And you know, and here he comes, and then one door of the Cadillac was missing. Okay, and it's the truth. And he would drive through the town and pass the church occasionally, and I'd just wave at him. I didn't know who he was. I said, "Who is that guy?" You know, and then guess what he had on the very front of the hood of the Cadillac? Oh, yes, Longhorns. I mean, and they were crooked. Just, you know what I'm saying? All the way down. And then on the other side of the Cadillac, on the door that where there was a door, he had those metallic metal stickers that stuck to the door that said, "I am a weather prophet." And he would drive all over town. He had the strangest voice of any person that I've ever met in my life. I mean, no disrespect, I'm not making fun, not at all. I'm just showing you something. And when I first met him, he would come in and he would go,
Hey, Bill.
I said, "What?"
He said, "There's a hurricane right now, you know, in the East Coast." I said, "What? I'm a weather prophet."
Well, listen, no one, as you can imagine, wanted this guy. They didn't want him in their church. They didn't want him in their city. And I watched how the people in the city abused him. And I know he was odd. He was odd, the oddest man I've ever met in my life. One day, OZ, that was his name, he came to my office there at the church. He didn't come to church. He would never set foot in a church. He was terrified to do that. He walked in. He was telling me again where the hurricane was and so forth. That was my first encounter with him. And he dropped off into my hand two little short pencils, you know, just, I don't know why. And then wadded that piece of paper and he left. That was my first meeting with him. And it was also the beginning of a friendship. You know, after that, he would come and he would talk to me every day and talk and so forth. He'd bring his pencils. He would tell me where the horrible weather around the world was happening. And I didn't make fun of that. I finally just said, "OZ, listen." I said, "You've been coming by here now for a couple months." And I said, "I'm not trying to, but you're just a little weird. I mean, your car is weird. The way you dress is weird. The way you talk is weird. I'm not beating you up. I'm not trying to cut you down." I said, "But you're just a little weird." And I said, "OZ," I said, "do you know Jesus Christ is your Lord? Have you ever asked him to come into your heart?" And I'll never forget what he told me. He looked me right in the face and he goes, "Bill, Jesus Christ is my Savior." Just like that. And I'm going, "He is? Yes." And I said, "Well, OZ, why are you such a weirdo, man?" You know, I'm being honest. And I'll never forget the look that he looked me in the face and he said, "Listen, when I was a little baby, I lived on the farm with my mother and father. And as they were out in the field plowing, they would heat the house. We had a fireplace there, you know, the old-timey fireplaces. And he said, they left me in the crib and I fell out of the crib and knocked myself out, but my head rolled over into the fire. In the back where," and so he said, "it wasn't my parents' fault. They loved me." He said, "but it cooked the back of my brain." And he showed me his head and it was horrible. And he said, "That's why I talk like this." And I said, "OZ," I said, "why don't you come to church?" He says, "I can't come here." He said, "You know, there's not anybody that wants me." And so one night after church had let out, and we had it was a beautiful theater, and it was all lit up on the outside. And all of the youth, they were out there. You know how kids, they get after because it's right on the main thoroughfare, and they were playing. And OZ, and I'm standing, just happened to stand out, come outside. And when that happens, I notice that all of my kids, they have spitballs. You know those spitwads? And when OZ walks beside them, they all start throwing those spit wads into his face. In the moment that happened, the Lord spoke to my heart and said, Bill, that's what that man has gone through every day of his life. He said, everybody that meets him hits on him verbally, hits on him either physically, wants nothing to do with him at all. When the youth did that, my heart was literally broken. I finally had enough confidence, or he had enough confidence, to finally come to the church. I kept inviting him, begging him. I said, Ozzy, I'll sit with you back there. I said, because he was afraid of people. I said, I'll sit with you. Nobody's going to hurt you. Nobody's going to say one word to you. Just come and just be with me. So I'll never forget, he walked in that night. And that night, I had a special guest singer named LaWanna Latour, who's now home with the Lord. She was killed in a car wreck. And here she comes, and she's singing a song. And so there, I'm listening to her sing, you know, and all of a sudden she starts singing like a love song to OZ. And I'm going, oh, please. Oh, God, help me. Don't, no, he's never been in church before. He's never done, he's finally, I've got this strange man here. And I said, oh, you know, Lord, and I said, here is this crazy woman. That's exactly what I said. I said, she's, you know, walking, gonna, and started walking toward him with the microphone and all of that. He walks right up to him, singing this love song from God to him, and grabs his hand. I nearly faint. And you know, and she says, what is your name? And I'm right. I said, his name is OZ. And I said, you know, he doesn't really want to be bothered. If you don't mind, LaWanna, just sing your song and let me come up and preach, okay? And she looks at me and she looked back at OZ and she said, God wants to honor you today. And then I knew I was in trouble. She takes this giant of a man. I mean, he is huge, huge. He wasn't heavy. He was tall and slender. And I'll never forget. There he is in his cowboy boots. There he is with the rope, the plaid outfit, two boots that are totally different. And there she is, the little tiny, beautiful lady, holding his hand, and he's following her. His eyes are as big as saucers, going never, I mean, it's never, you know, there he is, going to the front of the church where the stage is. You understand me? And I'm thinking, this is it. I was terrified. She starts singing to him about the love of God. And I see a person transfixed before me. And then God did something I have never forgotten. One by one, all of those teenagers that had so wickedly threw the spitballs in his face and laughed, I watched one by one come to the very front and embrace him and say, Ozzy, forgive me. I love you. Then the next one came. Then the next one came. Then all of a sudden, every youth, they had surrounded him and were holding upon him and weeping before him. And you know what happened? That's when I saw love transform a person. I saw love demonstrated to someone who was unlovely, who no one wanted, that no one wanted to speak to or eat with or even be around, who looked down upon them. And I looked and I saw a man who for 67 years would not let anyone touch him. And then he was embraced. And then he was made whole. Why? Because you loved their neighbor as themselves. Loved one, listen. Love never fails.
Pastor Bill will be back tomorrow with more of his series in Romans, and we do look forward to seeing you once again. Thank you for listening with us today. Have a great day, and we'll see you next time. If you'd like more information regarding Calvary Chapel Fort Worth, Love Never Fails International, or the Love Never Fails radio broadcast, please visit our website at ccfortworth.org or download the CCFW app. Pastor Bill would also like to personally invite you to join us for any of our three services here at Calvary Chapel Fort Worth. For service times and directions, please visit ccfortworth.org or call our toll-free number, 866-729-1999. That's 866-729-1999. If you're unable to worship with us in person, our live streaming allows you to join us virtually via the CCFW app, Apple TV, Facebook, YouTube, or our Roku channel. So, until our next broadcast, may we encourage you with these words. Love bears, believes, hopes, and endures all things. Love never fails.